Slapshot. Do I have your attention? The movie just passed another anniversary. Today, I talked to a former Johnstown coach. But this story couldn't be further from the days of the Hanson brothers. From wondering who owns the Chiefs to watching girls hockey blossom in a desert. I'm looking forward to you meeting Sherry Hudspeth on The Chirp with Darren Millard.
Boys, I'm Mike today. Just let everyone know, don't say anything stupid.
I'm going to run you. I'm just waiting for my shift. Hands up! Oh, how'd that feel, old man?
Hit him. Light him up.
Yeah, nice hit. That's solid.
Welcome back to the worldwide headquarters of the Chirp Podcast, located in Las Vegas. This is Gender Equality Month, the NHL celebrating a series of female front office hires, and the sport of women's hockey is coming off an Olympic Games in which more North Americans watched the women's tournament than the men's. There is great momentum in women's hockey right now. Producer Bob Bender was out here for All-Star Weekend and asked about the local youth hockey scene. He was left speechless, which usually only happens when we turn off his mic. The NHL story at All-Star was glitz and glamour, and it was full of stars having fun on the strip, doing the game of 21 and 22 and the old Bellagio fountain skip. But 20 minutes on either side of the strip, there are rinks overflowing with kids who have been exposed to our game and inspired to participate because of the arrival of the Vegas Golden Knights. The biggest area of growth has occurred on the female side. In fact, girls hockey in Nevada continued to explode right through the pandemic. The person responsible for youth hockey under the Vegas Golden Knights umbrella is former NHLer and my current broadcast partner with the Vegas Golden Knights, Darren Elliott, a goaltender. One of the most important things he did was hire a woman who knows the female game. I like the phrase, ponytails matter. I heard it, I adopted it, continue to use it. Sherry Hudspeth is not a fan. But at Elliott's urging, she moved to Vegas to run the girls' program. Sherry is smart, she is passionate, and perhaps most importantly, Sherry is not shy. I'm very proud that her first ever podcast interview is on The Chirp with Darren Millard, a podcast recorded during All-Star Weekend in Vegas that covers her journey from Canada through Minnesota, Johnstown, Pennsylvania, and now Las Vegas. What's your first hockey memory?
My first hockey memory would be probably playing at my cottage. We had a cottage in Minden, Ontario, so I'm from Aurora, Ontario, and we used to play out on the pond. My dad would, you know, scrape off the lake. We had a cottage on Gull Lake, and my dad would scrape it off with he had a snow plow, a construction business, and scrape it off, and all the kids would come and skate on the pond. So since we were probably 3 or 4 years old.
Really? You're that young?
Really young, yeah. Yeah. It's in Canada.
So that you would remember that more than ahead of watching it on TV?
Yeah. Oh, of course, yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Most people see the game on TV and say, I want to do that. You
no.
played and then wanted to do what they did.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I watched a lot of NHL. Like, before school, I watched a lot of TSN SportsCenter. Like, before I went to school, every day was TSN SportsCenter, but when I was very young, like, we just played, I think, naturally, like, on the street. Like, we played street hockey, got every single day street hockey, pond hockey. We could walk down the street. Like, there's just so much access, and the arenas would flood the baseball diamonds for us so we could play there. Just so much access. And, yeah, so I grew up, you know, playing outside naturally, I think.
When did you play organized?
Not organized until, like, 13.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, my dad would not let me play boys, right? So I played, like, pond hockey, street hockey. My brother played. He played for Roar Tigers. And my parents wouldn't let me play with the boys. So it wasn't until there was girls hockey in my town that I was allowed to play. So even though I was playing with them outside, like, on the ponds, all that stuff, and even to get skates, like, was a struggle for me. Like, we had figure skates, and my mom was like, the hockey skates were boys' skates. So I had to fight to get boys' skates, so I would play on the pond playing with boys in figure skates. But, like, I knew I wanted to play hockey. I was good at playing hockey. Ended up being good at playing hockey in figure skates.
So, were you a good figure skater?
Yeah. So we had, like, you know how they, like, swimming lessons?
Yep.
So we had like figure skating lessons where you get the little badges,
Yeah,
and stuff like that. So I did all the figure skating. I think my mom tried very hard to make me a girly girl, like the dance, gymnastics, was in modeling, like anything that was a girl sport, my mom tried very hard to keep me there. But my brother played, and my grandfather and my dad all played, so I wanted to play hockey like them, you know, and so I really had to kind of like fight to just get boy skates. And so my first pair of skates was like, it was a used pair of skates, and there was a guy in town in Aurora on Yonge Street, and it was a Vic's Shoe Repair, and this guy had like a wall of used skates, and that's where all the kids would go get their skates. So finally got some boys skates. And then it was actually a girl, and that's why I'm kind of big on visibility. There was a girl in my school that I was at her house one day just randomly, and she had a photo of like a team, like a photo of her team, and it was girls. And I was like, you play hockey? Yeah. I'm like, okay. I went home, told my dad. I was like, okay, there's a girls team in town. Can we like figure this out? And so my mom's like, well, you got to quit gymnastics. I'm like, okay, I'll quit gymnastics. Like, let's go play. So when got the skates, my dad actually knew like a guy in Toronto that had all this used equipment in his garage. Takes me down to his guy, get like all this used equipment, right? I didn't get new equipment until college, so nothing new. Everything was always used, didn't fit properly. Like my sticks were like my dad's like cut down sticks, and just really had to try to just stay in the game, get in the game, and then once, because I played with boys outside, when I went to girls hockey, like, you're just so, like, good, you know what I mean? Because I've only played with boys, and then you go to the girls, and then, so he put me in the house league, smashed that, and I was like, I want to go play in Toronto. And then we started looking into girls teams and getting the paper and, like, where these tryouts are, and so he took me to tryouts in Toronto, made team, and then, that's really how it kind of, like, took off. And then you start getting into, like, moving up into the AAA and stuff like that, so...
So you played college hockey?
Yes, sir.
How did you get there?
So I played for a team called Toronto Arrows. And back in the day, the Toronto Arrows, they were called the Beatrice Arrows. I don't know if you're familiar. Mm-hmm. They had a couple studs on the team, like Angela James, Cassie Campbell was on that team. Geraldine Heaney was on that team. And in the 90s, these women had like black leather jackets. They had the whole kit. They were sponsored by Beatrice, right? So all the stuff the boys had, all the stuff my brother had, and like I remember like Don Mills Flyers had their gloves with like Don Mills on the gloves, right? And this team had Beatrice on the gloves, and like they got everything. They got the kits, they got everything. And they were so cool, right? And then they had the talent too. So it's like they were just the premier organization in women's hockey like at the time. So you kind of aspired to play for Arrows. And there was a lot of girls' teams in Toronto, but it was like if you played for the Arrows, like you were good and you're cool, you know, and you had all the stuff.
So you wanted to be cool.
I wanted to be cool.
I wanted to be
like Angela James, right? Yeah. Angela James went to Seneca College. My dad went to Seneca College, and my brother used to practice there, and they have her jersey there. And he would be like, that's a woman. And this is like early 90s, right? So it's not kind of, there's not the visibility then than there is now. And then, so made the junior Arrows. And junior Arrows, so we played our normal like schedules, AAA, but you would get called up to play senior Arrows. And then that was a big deal. Like when in our locker room, it's like, we're going up. You get called up. But then so this was like 97. In 98, those guys, like Cassie Campbell, that was a year of like that Olympic year where Canada didn't win. And
Nagano.
Yeah. And Angela James was my hero because she was the one that I always saw and went to the same school as my dad. And, she was there. So that was always kind of my hero and want to get called up. And then you get to get on the ice with them. And you're like, oh, my God, you're 17 years old. And the roster at that time now, like a bunch of them in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And you're on the ice, you're 17 years old. You can't miss them with a pass. They would just light you up. And that's nothing like I've ever seen before, right? So... yeah, Ken Dufton did, like, an incredible job there. He still is, like, a big guy in women's hockey, you know, scouting and with the national team. And, so that's where I came from. That's how I got recruited and getting to Minnesota was playing for that team. And at that time, so they were the elite team. So, like, schools would come through, and it was pretty new, and they would come through. Like, one school came through and offered our entire team full scholarships. It was so new, and we were... like one of the top programs, right? So it's like a lot of these teams were trying to build programs in the 90s. And it was very heavily recruited at the time. And then it was kind of a tricky time, too, because you have to decide if you want to go NCAA. And then Canada, I mean, they would develop the talent in Toronto and spend a lot of time and money, like, developing kids. Mm-hmm. And they'd leave the States. So they would want you to stay in Canada and play there and go under 22 Team Canada and that sort of thing. And I always wanted to go to the NCAA, like, play in the States. And I think I was always attracted to being cool and the big money and the stuff and the arenas. And it was really cool, so...
You were coached by men. Now you're a coach as a woman. How important is that to have a female coaching girls?
I think two ways. I like male coaches. That's fine. Like, you know, with the Arrows, we had male coaches. I think it's good. But for women, I think there's a different type of empathy that comes. Like, I was that little girl, you know, like I was like, they called it tomboy, like, in the 90s, right? And I think it's okay. Like, if you want to wear hats on backwards, you want to shoot pucks, kick soccer balls, that's okay. You know, it's like, I understand being that girl. I understand, like, a lot of the emotion that they have in certain times and, like, just being a woman and making it okay to be confident and be cocky and be, you know, competitive. And it's okay, you know. And I think if you have a woman telling you that and parents seeing that and stuff, and I think it's good for them versus a man. Like, I think they haven't experienced the same path, I guess, and the same emotions of being an 11-year-old girl where I have. And so it's like, okay, I know where you're at. I know what you're feeling. I can help you with this. And you don't get that from male coaches. I think from male coaches, you just straight up get the game. Like, breakouts, passing, that shooting, skills anyone can learn. What you don't get is, like, how to talk to them. You know, I know how... in a game, how I want to be talked to and what's going to set me off, what's going to upset me, what's not. And I don't know if men have the same empathy, I guess.
What's it like coaching in Vegas then? How did that happen?
That happened from an email from Darren Elliott, actually. So
former NHLer.
Former NHLer, former Olympian.
Olympian, yeah.
Yeah. So wanted to learn from him, like seeing his past with Little Caesars and like how to build a program. So I've coached hockey before. I think
he was in Detroit, yeah.
Yeah, easy to coach hockey. And I'm kind of at a point where I can't learn anything more from myself. I need to learn from someone that knows the bigger picture of how to grow an organization. And he does that. And what they did with Little Caesars is like ideally something that we'd like to get here is mirroring and being a top premier junior youth program. And I think that was attractive to me is to learn from a guy like with his resume. You know what I mean? So not too often that you have guys with that resume in youth hockey. So, so that was attractive to me to come out here. Brand new program. Have the freedom to do what I want here and grow it kind of the way I want to grow it. And I look to my past with the Arrows being a premier Canadian organization is what did I want at that time as like, what attracted me to that program and try to make that program like here, you know, so we already have a jump ahead with all the stuff. Like we get all the NHL stuff. We look like an NHL branded team, gloves, bags, jackets, like so much stuff. So I think that's, you know, that's attractive, but now you need to bring the culture to Vegas. Right. So
how about just the kids? Has it been a challenge getting girls hockey up and running?
It is, yeah, because in Nevada, you don't have that many kids in Nevada. So here you have to focus more on development. Whereas in Michigan, Toronto, you have the numbers. We don't have the numbers here. So the numbers that you do have that do want to play girls and not play boys, like they can go play 10 and 12-year boys. So you want to develop them and create a culture that's like a positive culture where they want to stay. And you also have to, you know, have success in the parents seeing like, this is a good option for my daughter. I don't need to go play boys double A. We can play girls double A. So,
do you have to convince them of that?
I think at first. I think now we don't. I think we've had a lot of success this year. We've went in three tournaments, and we've won two of them, and then we came second in the other one. And our 10 U's we just put together, they went in two tournaments, they came second in one. So the success people are going to see, like, oh, maybe we should go play girls hockey. Maybe it's good. And I think we play boys teams. We play Vegas boys teams. So we stick with them. One game we won, we beat a boys team. These boys have 100 kids at tryouts. We don't. We didn't make any cuts. And then you can either stick with them or beat them. So I think that sells a lot and goes through the organization that like, whoa, you know, the the girls just won 2-1 mm-hmm. versus a boys team that 100 kids. So it's going to take time. You know, it's a startup program. It's like, you know, very, very new. So it's going to take time here in winning and that sort of thing, and developing kids and bringing kids up from underneath to get them, you know, going. And I think we're gonna have very successful. We already do have very good successful girls hockey here. It's going to take a minute. So,
will we have a professional hockey player in women's hockey
in Vegas?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're 12, so we need a little time.
Okay, so when does?
So we got to get. I think the first step.
Will that be the success point when you produce a professional player?
A professional player
in women's hockey.
Yeah, I think so. Having a professional league for them to play in, I think, would be the first step. For us in Vegas, the next step would be high school. We need a high school program. The next step after that would be a college program, and hopefully one of the college programs in town goes Division I, and then Title IX. Hopefully we have Division I college hockey in Vegas. You know, I think it would do well. Like, people here love their team. They love Vegas. So I don't think it matters if it's women's basketball, women's and anything, men's hockey. Like, people in Vegas get behind their team. So I think that's sort of the natural progression, is we're going to, these 12-year-olds, that's our top right now, high school, college. Like, we got to open these doors still here and then look at professional. We got to get them through that. So we're still like 14 years out. Right.
So where do you think the women's game professionally will be then? Where is it now?
Are you familiar with women's hockey at all?
Yeah.
Okay. So we have, for the people that are not familiar with it, there's two, paths of women's hockey, for women's professional hockey. You have a PWHPA, which is your players' union, has a lot of strong talent, a lot of big names, a lot of Division I players, Olympians, and then you have the PHF. So there's two leagues. That one kind of, that has the structure, right? It's a very good structure. And the other side, you have the talent. And it's been a little bit complicated, I think, the state of the women's game. Like, I think both are very well intentioned. Both want to have one league. I think, you know, we just need to have, like, more conversations about getting there. Like, we have two leagues going up with major sponsors, major coaches, a lot of money being thrown at it, and, like, putting it on TV. We're getting TV rights and stuff for back and forth, and then we just really just need one viable pro league, you know, come together, and then eventually, hopefully, if we do have one league, then we get the NHL support and then start going.
Are you frustrated with the way it is right now?
As a fan, yeah. Yeah, I am. It's confusing, honestly, just as a person without skin in the game. It's confusing because you see, so they're both led by big-name women, you know, that I'm a fan of personally from growing up. You know, they're that 98 generation that are leading it, and very talented people on both sides. And it's just like, I think it's confusing, and I try to explain it to my husband, like, what's going on. He's like, I just want to watch hockey. I don't want to hear about all this story. And I think people just, if you have a team, like, I want to cheer for my town. Like, I want to wear hoodies that say Vegas on it, and yeah, have a women's league, and have it be connected to the Vegas Golden Knights, and that's what I want. I think it's great there's a union, but I don't want to cheer for a union. I want to cheer for a town, you know. And so you have that with one league, but then you're missing, like, the talent, like, all the talents on the other side, which is a union. They travel around, so it's like, when can you watch them? Well, I don't know. They're doing a tour here, or they're doing a tour here, and when can you watch them? Like, I don't know. It's not consistent. Whereas the other one has the infrastructure, but it's like the stars. Like, a professional league is powered by stars.
Right.
Right. I want to see, like, and some of these stars are on a clock. They're in their 30s. You know, so you're going to miss their prime while we're trying to sort this out. So it's, I don't know about, you know, the take is, like, is women's hockey the only thing getting in the way of women's hockey right now?
Is it?
That's how I feel. Because it's two sides that are just in a standoff, and it's very complicated. There's more to it. But I think everyone wants to see it grow. Everyone wants to see a viable pro league. I think the NHL wants to see women's hockey, but just my personal opinion, I don't feel like the NHL is going to be a demise of a league, but they will support a league. So I think the two leagues need to come together.
And how does the NHL choose between
I don't think that's for them to do. I think there needs, the two women's league need to sit down, bring it together, be like, we came together, we have, you know, these TV rights, we have this money, these backings, these sponsors, put it all together, and then have one viable league where people don't have to work all day, and then they can come and play hockey. You know, like it, I think they, it's just complicated, you know. And as a fan, I just hope it gets sorted out soon. And for these girls too, like I can only say, like, you can go play college one day. Like, I want to be able to say you can go play pro hockey one day as a profession, where it's you're paid to play hockey. You don't have to work all day and then go to the rink at 7 p.m. and then work out at 9 p.m. Like,
yeah. You,
I want them to have a path, and hopefully it's done soon. And as a fan, I want to see the stars in their prime. Like, we're pushing in the 30s now. I want to see them play. So hopefully we get it sorted out.
Do you want to coach in that league? If they get it sorted out?
No, I'd like to, honestly, like, what I'd really like to do is stay and build hockey in Vegas. I think there's a lot of opportunity here. You know, college in Vegas, I think, would be incredible. I don't know if I want to coach professionally. I think that would probably go to, like, one of the Olympians, you know, sort of that. They probably only start with, like, six teams. I imagine, like, an original six where they start, and they'd have to bring back the talent, I think. I like the grassroots level. I like youth hockey. I love what I'm doing here in the community, where you're introducing new people to hockey. I think that's my lane, and like, I do well there. I like that. So,
who are your mentors? Who do you look up to as a coach professionally, as a scout professionally, as people that are building the game?
I don't know if it's a mentor. You may have seen me, like, in the rink. I like to go to practice. Some of the best drills that you get are from other people. So I have the access here where I can go watch the open practices, and a lot of DeBoer's drills.
Golden Knights, yeah.
Yeah, like, can go every day and watch the drills. Like, and then I can put them in the youth hockey. So I wouldn't say it's a mentor, because I just, you know, like the Donskoffs and...
Misha Donskoff is assistant coach with the Golden Knights.
Yeah, I like his skills. And then I like DeBoer, how he runs his practices, and like seeing how, like, if they lose and come back, like, how does he run his guys? Or if they win, like, what do you do? So I like that. I wouldn't really say that I have a mentor. I have, you know...
Who do you look up to, though? Like, female to female?
Growing up, it was Manon, who, yep, I got to meet this weekend, which
nice.
Is pretty cool. And she actually came on Thursday, the girls' event, and meet the girls. So in 92 was when she got her shot there with Tampa Bay. And I was 10 years old. And I remember they had these, like, wood posters, right, of NHL players. And they had one of Manon. And I was 10. It was like she made it. Like, that really, really impacted me, was when she stepped out there. So I don't know if she didn't get that chance, like, if I would be here doing this with girls. And then I thought it was really full circle on Thursday night. She came to our practice and, like, talked to our girls, and she came to our girls' event. So really, really cool for me to, one, meet her, you know, as an adult now, and then have her talk to our girls. And then we had some girls, like, some parents texted me saying, like, hey, my daughter met the first woman that ever played in the NHL. That was really cool. And so very full circle. That night was cool. I really liked Angela James. Always looked up to Angela James because she played Arrows. She actually coached with my dad for, like, 2 years. And then so was always a fan of her.
She's doing, like, great things.
Yeah, she's with Toronto Six. Mm-hmm. So I kind of keep tabs on her just because... She's the Wayne Gretzky of women's hockey, right? So she's still in the game. Had an impact on me growing up because I saw her jersey on the wall with my dad. So I would say Manon Rayum, Angela James, and that's it. So that's, and getting back to the professional thing, is, so just seeing them, right? So you see them, you know you can be it, right? So you have to see them. And if we don't have a pro league, and we don't have college here, and we can't take them to games, how do they know what they can be, right? So... just your visibility is so important. And so just very big advocate of girls seeing other women playing and having female role models.
I heard the phrase, and I don't know whether this came from Darren Elliott or somebody in the organization, but I've heard it around the rink, that ponytails matter. Do you know?
I hate that saying.
Why?
And I've heard it. I've heard it, like, just
but
in the
like
ring.
I like it. I think it resonates.
I don't know. I've heard in rings, so, like, look at the ponytails out there. And
see girls skating and playing.
I don't know. But in Vegas, you have a lot of different backgrounds. Like, you have, like, Hawaiian kids and Samoan kids that have very long hair. And you have a lot of boys that, like, I've mistaken, like, will you come play for me? You're so good. And they're boys. So, I don't know. I just don't like the saying of ponytails, I feel like it's like a reduction term almost. Mm. It specifies. I just feel like it's a reduction, and it might not, as a man, you might not think it's a reduction, but I feel like it is. I don't have the exact reason why. I just don't like that term. I don't like, like lady knights or lady ducks. Like, I hate that. I feel like it's antiquated. I just want them to be the same. That's why we're Vegas Golden Knights, exact same thing as the boys. I just want them to be the same. And I think why NWHL changed their name too is the gender and the binary. Like, so I just want it to be hockey. Like, eventually one day we're just like hockey. It's not, you know,
no,
like
women's
girl
hockey.
Yeah, like it's just called hockey. Yeah, if kids grow up now, they're 2 or 3 years old, they just know it is hockey. They don't know it is women's hockey or men's hockey. It's just hockey, and that's where they're like, hockey is for everyone. It's what I want it to be, you know.
So what's your favorite drill?
My favorite, if I'm in a good mood or a bad mood?
Yeah, bad mood first.
In a bad mood?
There has to be pucks involved, though.
Did you hear about no pucks? Yeah, so at the beginning of the season, I like to do no pucks. Not as a punishment, but more of like preseason conditioning. You kind of get that from college where you have the captain skate and they step out with no pucks. So the first few practices with our girls, we did no pucks for, you know,
you're
hours.
You're evil.
Well, you got, I mean, what do they do all summer? Nothing.
You're evil.
No, we're good. We're winning. Right? So there's something. There's
okay,
like.
Put a puck on the ice then.
We got some trophies. No, there's, I think, a little method. They got to have some discipline. I like, you know, smaller games. We do that, like, if we're in a good mood and, like, a lot of creativity and with smaller games. But, like, I'm trying to teach them hockey right now. Like, we're 12 years old, so we're working on breakouts. We're working on zone entries, coming in, turning up plays. We're doing face-off plays now. Like, we're almost at the end of the season, 12U. So we're trying to get them ready to play 14U. So we're in hockey, and it's a little tricky too because on my ice I share 10U and 12U girls. So you have girls that are 9 and girls that are turning 13. So skill difference wise on the same ice, it's difficult to run a practice like that where you're not all the same skill. You know, so something I think the boys coaches don't have to deal with as much. Like if they have 12U AA, they're all kind of 12U AA. Whereas we're trying to retain girls and grow the program and have girls. So you have to do drills that challenge the strongest player and drills that like improve the newest player. You know, that's something we're doing. So how do you run a practice with 9 to 12 year olds? And it's difficult, but it's working and it's good.
I wake up every day and say, I'm really doing this in Vegas.
I do that too.
Really?
Every day. I'm doing it right now.
It's crazy and cool and fun and unbelievable.
Yeah. I go to the grocery store, and the guy beside me gets out in a Lamborghini, like it's normal, and just goes in the grocery store. And that,
I've never gone to the grocery store beside you.
I felt it was humbling, like when I first got here, because it's so different. And now I just think it's so great. Like I don't know where else you go from here. Like it's Vegas. You have the best of everything. Even in youth hockey, we have the best of everything. Like we're NHL branded team. You get all the stuff. It's fantastic here, and it's like if you just look around, it's a hockey city. We're a sports city now. Like we had an NFL Pro Bowl here. I love it here. I love it as far as sports. Like I came from Pennsylvania and people were like I was living outside of Pittsburgh, which is a sports crazy town. And this is crazier for sports than Pittsburgh was, which I'm probably gonna get in trouble for saying that, but but I love it here.
What did you do in Pittsburgh? What did you grow in Pittsburgh?
So I was a volunteer coach. I've always like volunteered coached, but I was with the Johnstown Warriors, and so I lived in Johnstown for 2 years.
Was that the home of Slapshot?
Correct.
Yeah.
In Hockeyville.
Nice.
Hockeyville and Johnstown. So.
So you came to Vegas from Slapshot.
Yeah. I don't know how either. It's a dream every day. I'm like, how did I get here? But it was really fun there because it is a sports town. It's a hockey town. And, you know, the hockey and Slapshot connection there. And a lot of people there were actually in the movie, too. So they do a lot of, like, Slapshot events, and they, like, show the movie. And then it's people that you know now are in that movie. And the Hanson brother, Steve Carlson, he coaches, like, with Johnstown Jets. So you see him in the rink still, and he skates his grandchildren. It's really neat. But hockey town, so the organization I was with was a youth hockey organization, and they had boys hockey for 53 years, and they didn't have girls hockey, and we started girls hockey there. And
how many years ago was this?
This is So I've only been here since May. So the last 2 years I spent with Johnstown. So it's a hockey town. They don't have girls hockey. You know? And then so we sort of did the same thing
so
here.
So Johnstown is almost on the same level of girls hockey in Vegas.
Correct. As a startup.
So I
got to do it there.
Surprising to me.
Me too. It was really surprising for being a hockey town. Why didn't we have girls hockey? And there's enough. How it started. So there, Sidney Crosby has the little pens. So they give the kids equipment. Like the Penguins Foundation gives all the kids equipment to the arenas. So the arenas like hand out the equipment, and they did, I guess, a try hockey for free for girls and gave them all the equipment. And it just happened that this one batch of girls, they were all like the same sort of age in that day, and it ended up creating enough girls to make a team. So we made a 12U team, and we had girls that were 8 to 12 years old.
So it almost happened by accident?
Yeah, I guess. What? I don't know if it was by accident. Yeah, I don't know if it was by accident. Like, I don't think it was intentional, but if that event, that try hockey for free event, didn't happen, that girls team doesn't happen. So, I mean, that program takes away the barriers, obviously, of money. Like, it gives them equipment and access and stuff like that. So, so we had a team, and that was the first year of the team, and I just put in the parents' chat. Like, so Penguins Foundation ended up giving us tickets to the game. And they were like, how many tickets do you want? Like, they had a ton of tickets. And they gave us 50 tickets. So I was like, well, that'll fill up a bus, right? And the year before that, I coached Division III NCAA college hockey. So we would travel by bus. And I thought it would be cool for our 8 to 10-year-olds to, like, ride a bus and load their bus and, like, be pro and get dressed and, like, ride the bus. So we took 50 tickets. They gave them to the Warriors and gave them to me. And then we rented this bus to go to a Penguins game. And we played the weekend before in North Pittsburgh. Like, our league was Pittsburgh Amateur Hockey League. So we played there all the time in Pittsburgh. So I called like a parent meeting. I'm like, hey, we got 50 tickets to Penguins game. Let's like surprise the girls. And so all the parents were in on it. We were on it for like 2 weeks. So we had to try to like keep it quiet on them. And then so we load the bus, take them up there, and then I had like signs made that said, you know, Crosby's girls. And we're like, I've always been big on warm-ups. Like, I like to get to the rink. Like, as soon as it opens, I go down to the glass just as a fan. And I like to watch the warm-ups. So it's like, let's go down there and just geek out on the NHL and Penguins. They love the Penguins. So load the bus, get the signs. And then, so the warm-up goes. We go down the glass. We got all our kids pressed against the glass with the signs that say, like, Crosby's girls, and we all had our jerseys on and everything, and it just exploded. It exploded. I wasn't expecting it to, like, go viral or anything, and it went viral. It turned into, it was, like, one of the top stories for Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, and it went everywhere. Like, it went on NHL Network and Yahoo and everywhere, and we ended up getting the girls, got a Adidas deal. Like, Adidas came through and got the girls' shoes. Like, so we got shoes from Adidas, backpacks, water bottles, all kinds of stuff just to make hockey better in Johnstown. So after that, it was really good. It was a good vibe. So then the next year, yeah, we had a team again, and it was good.
And then you end up here in Vegas.
Yeah, so I got like, that experience in Johnstown, right? It was taking a brand new team and, like, you're making them good, and then so yeah, it's sort of the same experience here.
Have you had that same moment here that you had there?
What do you mean, like a viral girls hockey moment?
That turning point moment, yeah.
I feel like every day here in Vegas is a viral girls hockey moment. Like, yeah. NHL Street is putting us all over their socials right now, and I think it's just a vibe. Like, you have the league we're in here, you have a lot of NHL branded teams. Like, we play against the San Jose Sharks girls, we play the Anaheim Ducks. We play the LA Lions girls and Kachinas with Lindsay Fry. So yep. We did a Q&A with Lindsay Fry too. So Arizona's very involved with their girls program. So it's our whole league out here is really cool. It's also warmer. We play like all Southwest states, but we play mostly NHL branded programs in our league. So it's very good to see, you know, NHL branded teams with girls, you know, all the time. So like Kachinas are doing a good job, and San Jose and Anaheim's been doing it for like 25 years. So we've been going to Anaheim. We beat Anaheim a few times, which is really cool because it's like one of our first years, and we're going to beat California teams. And which is awesome. Like, they have 40, how many people in California? Like, 40 million? And then we have how many people in Nevada? So it's like, just, they have the pure numbers there to make all these teams, and we only have, we have to develop girls here. So
you know, somebody's going to call us on the 40 million thing.
Is it, what is the number? Is it 32 million?
I don't know.
It's probably close.
Brandon.
I'm from Aurora, yeah. I don't know. I think you can get called out on anything nowadays. So just, I said around 40 million, so I didn't like commit. I didn't commit to a hard number. So don't cancel me, California.
39 million.
39.24.
That's the number.
I think.
That's good. So Price is Right, you lose, but you were right there.
Don't cancel me, California. Then I'll have to stay in. I'll stay in Nevada though. If I'm canceled in California,
I'm not. I'm not canceling you. this has been awesome. See you around the rink the odd time. So this is good. We got a whole new friendship coming.
Yep. Thanks for having me, and thank you to the NHLCA and Lindsay Arkin for lining us up here and introducing us here. It's been fantastic.
Are we friends now?
I hope so. Yeah? I sit across from you in the locker room.
Yeah. You just make fun of me.
Because your stuff smells. And I probably score on you. We should line that up too. Where it's like, if I can score on you still.
I'm really good.
I
take like the middle of the
practice,
net.
I saw practice on Tuesday, and I don't know.
Really?
I don't know.
Were you in the stands watching practice?
Yeah, there's video, too, of you. Someone's taking video of you, and I saw Eichel go through his legs, like, bar down.
Oh, yeah. Well,
down.
That doesn't count. Eichel.
He went through his legs, bar down. Like, it was nasty.
There was no defense.
There's video of it, too. I know there's video. I can track it down.
Yeah, that's unfair. He's a top five player in the world.
I think I'm going to come to more practices just because you're chirping the guys.
I beat them
guys,
like crazy.
Guys, like, rolling. Like, so I come for the drills, but I think I'm going to stay for your chirps.
I'm a smartass.
Like, I can hear you.
Can
like,
oh,
you
really?
Can hear it. Like, I was sitting in top row, and I can hear you clearly, like, roasting on guys.
Do you think the guys appreciate it?
I think they think it's hilarious. I think that's why they stay out there so long. I'm so serious. Like,
you
had everyone rolling. Like, I was rolling in the stands. Like, this is great. And now I know why your show is called The Chirp.
Oh, Sherry, the name is the most natural part of this podcast. Sherry didn't really talked to me much around the rink at City National Arena. We didn't really know each other that well, but now she chirps all the time, both on social media and in person when she gets the chance. I was actually skating with the big club this week. It tossed in a two-pad stack and beat the guys as they left the zone. So that's news to Sherry that nobody's off limits from my beaking. I'll absolutely light you up. Our thanks to the NHL Coaches Association for their help with Sherry's participation and the assistance that the NHL Coaches Association, quite frankly, gives all the coaches in professional and youth hockey. The participation numbers are incredible. The trophies and the banners in the Las Vegas minor hockey program are impressive. But a good friend of mine, I'm going to say his name, Andrew Stewart, he runs the facility at City National Arena, the home of the Vegas Golden Knights. He said it best, and I'll paraphrase here, youth hockey is about fun, about making friends, being active, having sleepovers, being part of a team. You hit on those areas, and the goals and the wins don't mean nearly as much. Sleepovers, friends, being part of a team. That's what it comes down to. Thanks to Bob Bender for making this important episode happen. We will have more great content throughout March on both the podcast and the NHL.com side. I believe in this message so much, so please share this episode, subscribe, like, and spread the word. This is a really important and very cool story. Toronto, Minnesota, Slapshot, and now Vegas. You can't make that up. I'm Darren Millard. Thanks for listening to The Chirp.